call your 2 cents worth? When somebody is sharing with you, it's fall, it's the month of November, and if you're in a traditional church, I'm sure, Margene, if you go to Christ Lutheran, they probably have been or they will be talking about money and stewardship, right? Every fall, they're talking about stewardship and giving, and they want you to fill out a pledge card, and they're maybe telling you how far behind they are in their previous budget and how they need you to help them catch up, right? Or they're maybe asking you to fill out an estimate of giving card. So when we think of the fall and we think about stewardship, we oftentimes think about how churches are asking for money. Or, because it's the month of November, instead of thinking about green, you might be thinking about orange. And some people are going to go after the bucks, the big bucks, or the does. So either way you look at it, bucks, does, money, currency, your 2 cents worth, a penny for your thought, right? Tonight we're looking at scripture lessons that invite us to consider what it might mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and to live by faith alone. In God we trust. It's written on every penny from heaven. But is it true that we wake up and go to bed and live throughout the day trusting in the goodness of God even when life circumstances don't always make sense to us? Can we still live by faith and still trust in the goodness of God to know that He is in fact generous to us in the giving of His only begotten Son for the forgiveness of our sins and the resurrection unto eternal life? We give Thee but Thine own, whatever gift may be. All that we have is Thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from Thee. Even our faith, our trusting, comes from God. I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel. We are invited again tonight through the stories of two widows, two nameless women who were identified by the husbands that they were married to and who, according to the law, according to the teachings of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, were supposed to be the recipients of compassion and care by the church. Do not neglect the widows and the orphans in their suffering. In these two widows, we get a picture of discipleship. And discipleship is about living by faith alone, a trust, O Lord, from Thee. And discipleship is about stewardship. What we do after we make the confession, I believe. So I'm not going to ask you for money. And I'm not going to ask or request that kids put their 2 cents worth, the 2 pennies, into the offering plate. Because in the end, it's only the gospel that frees us up to see the generosity of Jesus in our lives and then to find generosity in our life lived for the praise of God and for service of the neighbor. My 2 cents worth. A penny for your thought. Now, it used to be that pennies went further. You know that. When I was thinking this past week, because some translations will actually use the word lepta or lepta, it was a small little copper coin that they're referring to in our gospel reading, but they'll say, well, the two of them made a penny. Actually, you had to have 128 lepta to make one denarius, and the denarius was the wage that a day laborer received. In other words, a denarius, or 128 lepta, is what you needed to survive for one day. This widow is down to her last 2 cents, her last 2 coins, and she puts both into the offering. crazy, foolish? I suppose when you have so little, what difference does it make, huh? Or is she a model of stewardship and discipleship and what it means to live in a trusting walk with Jesus? When I was younger, for a penny, I could get a fistful of candy. When I was younger, for a penny, there was this mechanical horse. Some of you remember those outside the grocery store. Put a penny in it and go for a ride. Some people used to play penny ante poker. I mean, pennies used to go further, or you could go into the penny arcade, or you can have an all-day sucker for a penny. It's amazing what pennies used to do. But nowadays, people don't even necessarily bend down and pick one up if they find it on the ground, because it takes so many pennies to accumulate any value or worth. You probably have read some stories, too, about people that have been hoarding pennies. They look at the dates, and if the date on the penny is before 1982, it's copper, which means if you melt that coin down, the copper would be worth between 2 to 2.5 cents. Twice as much, at least, of what the face value of that penny is. And they had to start going to producing pennies, the U.S. Treasury, with zinc in it, because copper was too expensive. Nowadays, it still costs our government 2 to 2.5 cents to produce 1 cent. One penny. So that's why you continually hear people say, we need to get rid of those pennies. Well, maybe the pennies from heaven really are a godsend, even though we've kind of devalued their worth in our lives. Because every time we see one, it reminds us, where is our trust? In God we trust? Or in ourselves, our own abilities, our own financial resources, our own possessions? Where is it that we find our trust, our life, our security? Is it in Christ alone? There's an offertory prayer that we often use in worship that contains these words. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving. Now there's an interesting thought, huh? Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us. What you have first given us. Ourselves, our time, our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of Him who offered Himself for us. Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a prayer. I mean, we probably just kind of rip it off real quick, you know, when the offering is brought forward and we say the offertory prayer, but it's pretty profound when you think about it in terms of what it is saying about our trusting walk with God. There's a father that was trying to teach his children about tithing. And so when he started giving them an allowance, he gave them a dollar. And his son took the dollar and went to the store and said, I want 10 dimes. And then, doing the math, he put 9 dimes in one pile and 1 dime in the other pile. My pile, God's pile. And then they went to church, and the father noticed that during the offering that the son put in 2 dimes. And so he asked them about that. He said, why did you put in 2 dimes? A tithe would have been 1 dime. And the little boy looked at his father and he said, Dad, it's because I didn't want to just give God something from His pile. I wanted to give Him something from the pile He gave me too. What does it mean to live our life in a walk of faith and faithfulness? What you got to give? It's an interesting question, a good question in light of our scripture lessons for tonight, because it means, are we looking at scarcity or abundance? When somebody says, what you got to give? Are they inviting you to participate in an opportunity? Or do you hear the word of obligation? I remember my folks, when I was growing up, they would make pledges in their churches. And then my dad was unemployed in the winter as a journeyman plumber. And then he would get these letters in the mail saying, you're behind in your giving. Well, the church should have been giving my mom and dad money because I don't know how they made ends meet. And after that, they would never pledge again. Because what they heard from their church was not an opportunity to live in the generosity of God, but that it was like a bill collector, an obligation, a payment. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone, I trust, O Lord, from thee. In the Bible, in the New Testament, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are 288 verses that talk about money and possessions. Jesus had 38 parables, and 16 of them talk about money and possessions. Jesus talked more about money and possessions than anything else, except for the kingdom of God. In the New Testament, there are 500 references to prayer. There are 500 references to faith. There are 2,000 references to possessions and money. No wonder people get so nervous when we get into the fall season and everything in the church is about budgets and giving and pledging, huh? And stewardship. Because we see it as an obligation rather than an opportunity. When you look at our scripture lessons for tonight, you see a widow of Zarephath. She's an outsider. She knew about the God of Israel. As the Lord your God lives, she says to Elijah. Not as the Lord our God or my God lives. She's not a believer. And yet God has chosen someone who's not even a believer to support God's ministry and mission. God's prophet, Elijah, who has announced a drought to King Ahab, who's in bed, literally, with Jezebel, the Sidonian, the Phoenician princess, who's brought paganism and corruption into the life of Israel. And God has instructed ravens, unclean birds, to daily bring water and meat. Bread, meat, water to Elijah. And then God instructs Elijah and says, okay, the brook has dried up. Now I'm going to provide for you with a widow of Zarephath. And when she sees him, she says, as the Lord your God lives, I'm down to my last 2 cents. My final penny. That's all I got left. Just enough meal, just enough oil to make one cake of bread. And Elijah said, don't worry about it. When has somebody said that to you? Don't worry about it. Elijah says, what you got to give? You go ahead and make me a cake first. And as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, you're never going to have to worry about food and water again. And she finds out that the word of God is trustworthy and true. Dependable. In our gospel reading, Jesus is watching. The one thing we can find from our gospel reading for tonight is nothing is hidden from God. Jesus is watching. What's he seeing? Well, first he sees good religious folks, especially the pastors, the elders, the deacons, the bishops, right? The good church folks, and he notices that the scribes, they like to parade themselves in long robes. They want the seats of honor. When they came into the marketplace, everybody was supposed to stand up for them. They were supposed to protect the widows and orphans, and instead they exploited them. And they received, Jesus says, the greater condemnation for what they have done. But who gets the commendation? This nobody widow. In the Jerusalem temple, there was the women's court, just like we got different locations, fellowship hall, gathering space, sanctuary, chancel, all that stuff in here. They had a women's court. And in the women's court, there were 13 metal containers, offering baskets. They were in the shape of a shofar, in other words, a trumpet. And as you can imagine, if you have 13 of them on the walls and each one designated for a particular cause, when big shots were coming in with big coins, I mean, they didn't have checks and plastic and dollar bills and stuff. They just had coins. So the bigger the coin going into a metal container, the bigger the bang, ding, 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 ding. Huh? So they're watching, and the disciples are just amazed. It's probably like, if you could get a picture of this, their eyes are like all buggy. They can't believe what they're hearing and what they're seeing. Look at what these guys are giving. We should name a building or a room after them. Huh? You heard those kind of appeals before? And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, oh, did you hear that music? Oh, that was sweet. Did you hear it? And they go, huh? With all this ding, 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 ding. How in the world what are you talking about? She said, that widow there, that woman, she had 2 lepta, 2 pennies. She put them both in. And they didn't make any noise. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, sound no trumpet when you give. That's what he's talking about. These 13 trumpets, offering plates that are made out of metal, that all the big shots are making big ding, 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 big bangs for themselves, tooting their own horns. Because it's not about showing Jesus to the world, it's all about showing myself. Jesus has commendation for that insignificant gift of the widow. In Mark 10, remember the rich man who had obeyed all the commandments and was so close? And Jesus says, you lack one thing. Go, sell, give, come, follow. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he walked away sad because he had lots of stuff. But 2 chapters later, you got a poor widow, and Jesus says she's given more than all the rest. She's a model of discipleship. She's an illustration of stewardship. She's an example of what it means to live by faith alone. A trust, O Lord, from thee. Pennies from heaven. A reminder to us every time we stumble upon one of those pennies, in God we trust. Is that where our trust and our faith is? Or are we trying to provide for ourselves and secure our own footing and our own future? One of my favorite stories is about a little boy that went into an ice cream shop and it was busy. And I don't know if they still have those kind, but you know, the kind where they had the counter and the stools and you sit right up there. And one woman was taking care of the cash register and the ice cream, and she was just overwhelmed. And this little boy, 10 years old, he says, how much is an ice cream sundae? And she says, it's 50 cents. He reaches in his pocket and he starts to count the money he has. And he says, how much is just a plain dish of ice cream? 35 cents. I'll take the plain dish of ice cream, the little boy said. Well, because she was busy, she got the ice cream, brought it there, put it in front of him, and then she was taking care of all the other customers. And then she realized the boy had left and figured, I probably got stiffed on this one. And then instead, she walks over there to the counter, and there by the bowl is his 35 cents for the ice cream. And then there is 2 nickels and 5 pennies. Which is her tip. He had 50 cents. He could have spent it all on himself. And it had an ice cream sundae. But he looked at what he had in his pocket And he made a different decision. And not because anybody told him he had to. In Africa, a missionary working on the conversion of people brings people to faith in Jesus Christ and, as a part of that conversion, teaches them about the joy of giving, teaches them about tithing. So the missionary, one morning, hears a knock on his door bright and early, thinks, what in the world? Who is this? Don't they know what time it is? And here it's one of the converts, a man who has come to faith in Jesus, and he says, here's my gift. Beautiful big fish that he's caught. He said, it's my tithe. He hands it to the missionary, and the missionary says, oh my goodness, God must have blessed you richly if you've already caught 10 fish and it's this early in the morning. He said, oh no, he said, this is my first one. He said, now I'm going to go catch the other 9. What you got to give? Do the obligation or opportunity to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to live by faith alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee? I got to admit, one of the things I love about being in a mission plant congregation is that we can talk about stewardship and discipleship when God talks about it in his word. But we don't have to have all these campaigns. We don't have to spend all this time sending out pledge cards, etc. Because in the end, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And God knows that. Jesus, who was rich, became poor, so that by his poverty, we might become rich. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.